You know, everyone is in some kind of doubt. I know I am. How about you? The writer, Michael Novak, says that doubt is not so much a dividing line that separates people into different groups or camps. It's not so much that as it is the razor's edge that runs through all of our souls. Many believers tend to think doubters are given over to meaninglessness and moral confusion and despair. And many doubters assume believers are non-thinking, dogmatic, judgmental moralizers. But the reality is, we all have believing and doubting inside of us. For we all have the same contradictory information to work with. So how do we deal with those doubts and how do they affect our lives? In August of 2006, just like John Wesley at Aldersgate in 1738, I felt my heart strangely warmed. I felt that God was calling me to serve Him. I also doubted my ability to do so. It took 9 years for me to take the plunge. And I don't know for sure, but I believe that many of you have faced doubt in your lives as well. Even we, who are believers, sometimes doubt, don't we? The journey from unbelief to belief requires a grace-filled encounter with the living Christ. Now to come down a level, how about you? Think about a time in your life when you experienced significant doubt. Maybe it was in the workplace. Maybe it was in a relationship. Maybe it was in God. You see, doubts can be small or they can be big. What helped you to move from doubt to belief? Where did you go? Who did you talk to? Who did you call on? And how did they respond? As all human beings, we experience doubt. And when we are uncertain in our faith, it can be hard to know what to say to God. And so we put pressure on ourselves to hide our doubts and our frustrations, even though He's fully aware of them already. The beauty of a healthy relationship is the depth of the vulnerability and trust that you have in a really strong relationship. And that gives you freedom to be authentic, to be who you really are. One of the shortest yet most profound examples in the Bible of this is the story of doubting Thomas. You see, as one of Jesus' inner circle, one of the 12 disciples, Thomas was dedicated to the Lord. Yet when Jesus appeared to the disciples after his resurrection, Thomas wasn't on hand to witness it. So when the other disciples told him the good news, he didn't believe it. And when Christ appeared later to Thomas, he didn't shame or mock him. I think that's something that we get in our heads. Jesus met Thomas right where he was, and he showed him the truth. God offers us that same grace. I'm here to tell you this morning that you have his permission to bring him your doubts and your fears. We know that it's okay to pray, "Lord, help. Help my unbelief." The point of the story is not that Thomas doubted. The point of the story is that even in his time of doubt, God's grace was present for Thomas. It's present for us too, as God invites us for a closer walk with him. And when we go to him, he'll meet us in our doubt to speak calm, life, and truth into our uncertainty. Take heart. God is with you, even in your doubt. In verse 29, which is a verse beyond the scripture for the morning, Jesus says to Thomas, "Have you believed because you've seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now, some people are led to believe that by this verse that Thomas's doubt was a sin, and believing without seeing is the ideal, the preferred way to come to faith. Whichever one is true, Jesus's response to Thomas's doubt transforms him and raises him to a place of trusting belief. I would wager that there are stories within this very congregation about what true or real belief is, and how that belief has shaped people's lives. Maybe one of those stories is your story. Maybe it's the story of a parent or parents. Maybe it's the story of a grandparent or the story of a friend who was with you when you doubted. I'm always reminded of the story of Job. And after he suffered all that he suffered, three friends came and sat with him, and for 7 days didn't say a word. They were with him in his time of trial. And when you get to the, I think, 50 chapters in the book of Job, at the end, it's Job's faithfulness that stands out. Thomas could have been any one of us. Do we have the courage to put our doubt out in the open? To ask for what we need? Lord, help my unbelief. And allowing God to transform us. Now, the story of Thomas, which is not recorded in the canonized books of the Bible, but is recorded elsewhere in writings of the same time. Thomas ended up journeying to India and ministered and spread the word to the people of India. He preached the gospel. He started a church there before dying for his faith. If God can do that for Thomas, couldn't he do it for us? In times of doubt, and we're in times of doubt, we just went through a week of, well, longer than a week, of back and forth. And the news media was telling us that we doubt that they're going to arrive at an agreement. But they did. And somebody once told me that the perfect compromise means that nobody is completely happy with the deal. Everyone got something that they wanted, and everyone didn't get something that they wanted. And to me, it was a sign of hope that in the end, it was votes from both sides of the political aisle that passed the bill. Not just a few votes from one side and many votes from another side, but a lot of votes from both sides. So even though I doubted and was truly concerned that we were in gridlock and there wouldn't be an agreement, my doubts were set aside. Some of us may be wondering about this congregation, this denomination. Is it going to stay viable? Is the church going to stay open? Is the big church going to stay together? I believe the answers to both of those questions are yes. It doesn't mean that there's going to be a magic wand waved over the church, this church, and things are going to be renewed and revitalized and all of that. I believe that we're in a partnership with the Lord and that He will provide spirit and He will provide direction in ways sometimes that we don't understand right now. And that we are to be His hands and feet and to be engaged ourselves in that process of moving forward, of renewing or revitalizing, whatever you want to call it. And I believe that the larger church, although maybe smaller in size, will continue. And those who have gone in another direction, I pray that they will be able to be witnesses and do good things for the Lord as well. in the big, big, big church, they're good Lutherans. They're good Baptists. Just like there are good Methodists. We don't have a corner on the goodness market. We don't have a corner on the doubt market either, do we? So how will we respond to our doubts? Will we go to the Lord and talk to Him about it? Will we be open and real with Him? Will we be as grace-filled in our prayers and in our thoughts as Jesus was with Thomas? Would you pray with me? Lord, we are all like many in the scriptures who have doubts and fears. Thomas is our poster child. Lord, meet us in our doubts, just as you did Thomas. Help us to be faithful to you. Encourage us to be your witnesses in our homes and in our community. May others know us by our love. We pray this in your holy, faithful name. Amen.